It's Bob Seger, old time rock and roll.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
And WZTI Greenfield.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Celebrations from Hostage Square in Tel Aviv to southern Gaza after news both Israel and Hamas had agreed to phase one of President Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza. The BBC's Yoland Nell is in Jerusalem.
It sets in trail this set of events now. We should have the Israeli Security Cabinet meeting in the afternoon. They have to give the approval to this deal before it is then voted on by the entire cabinet. But it is considered at this point, despite the criticism that's seen as inevitable from the Israeli Prime Minister's far-right allies, that the deal will go through.
The plan calls for a pause in fighting in Gaza and return of the hostages no later than Monday. A note of caution from Mona Yacoubian at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
There are big questions that still remain. How is Hamas to be disarmed? Hamas is demanding that this be a permanent end to the conflict and that Israel withdraw fully from Gaza. That is not at all clear from this first phase of the agreement.
A federal court hears arguments today on President Trump's deployment of National Guard troops to Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker sued.
Look, he's a coward. He says a lot of things to the camera. He likes to pretend to be a tough guy. Come and get me.
Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
A key issue for the Chicago judge will be to decide the facts on the ground, whether there is so much violent and protest activities in Chicago that cannot be controlled by the local law enforcement.
A new report says a quarter of the nation's FBI agents are now assigned to immigration enforcement.
Democratic Virginia Senator Mark Warner shared the latest data with the Washington Post. Agents that were working on cybercrime, drug trafficking, terrorism, and counterintelligence have been reassigned to the immigration crackdown. Sources tell the Post agent morale is low as they're stretched thin, with some of them forced to work overnights to keep up with their other investigations. FBI Director Kash Patel's office says the reassignments have not impacted the Bureau's ability to conduct its other duties. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Pope Leo has issued his first teaching document. CBS's Vicki Barker.
In a document begun by his predecessor, Francis, but completed and signed in his own name, Pope Leo deplores how wealthy people live in what he calls a bubble of comfort and luxury while the poor suffer.
A 16th season's worth of World Series hopes dashed for the New York Yankees.
Got him! Jeff Hoffman strikes out Cody Bellinger, and the Blue Jays have done it.
They lost to Toronto 5-2 in Game 4 of the AL Division Series on Sportsnet. Dodgers lost Game 3 of the NLDS to the Phillies. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Big business is booming in Kenosha County, and the 2026 budget reflects that growth. Kenosha County Executive Samantha Kirkman gave her budget proposal this week. Part of the address was about the county investing in infrastructure to support major expansions from companies like Uline, Microsoft, and Eli Lilly. Uline's adding another 1 million square feet to its campus, Microsoft has bought land for a new data center, and Eli Lilly is launching a massive $3 billion expansion in Bristol. Kirkman says careful budgeting and a strong AAA bond rating allows them to invest in key projects without raising the overall tax rate. There will be a deep dive into the financials next week in Racine County. Over 3 days, starting Tuesday, county board committees will review next year's $252 million budget proposal. The sessions don't allow public comments, but people can share their thoughts at a public hearing October 23rd. County leaders say a new sales tax will help keep property tax increases smaller while funding important programs. Fire investigators in Oak Creek are trying to figure out what started a deadly fire at an apartment complex early yesterday. The Oak Creek Fire Department was called to reports of smoke at the Seasons of Orchard Hills apartments before 8 a.m. That's off South 27th, south of Drexel. Firefighters found a 29-year-old man inside and took him to the hospital where he later died. The building's sprinkler system did go off, causing water damage, but it did stop the fire from spreading further. Again, authorities are still investigating the cause. And the friendly Illinois baseball team pulled out a win, so no sweep. The Brewers couldn't close it out last night against the Cubs, but Milwaukee still leads the series 2-1. Game 4 is tonight. First pitch is at 8:08 in Chicago. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
Game 4, Cubs and Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, there will be a Game 4 tonight in Chicago. The Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3. Chicago scoring all of their runs in the first inning, keeping their playoff hopes alive. On the brink of elimination, Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
It's fun and stressful in the same sentence and the same light, and I think you feel both emotions a lot.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Both teams come out firing. You know, that's what it's about. They know us. We know them. There's a lot of emotion in the game, and it says something for both teams. Really.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pistons in preseason basketball tonight. Doc Rivers asked about that ESPN report that the Bucks discussed trading Giannis to the Knicks.
It was a conversation where a team called, and John has been saying no now for 11 years. I don't know why this is a news story, you know, but I guess it is.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The weather is brought to you by Building Waters Heating and Cooling in Racine. Phone 262-989-1001 or visit them online at buildingwaters.com.
It's the time of year when warm summer days make way for cool autumn nights. But once those leaves start to fall, the temperatures really start falling too. So call Building Waters Heating and Cooling in Racine today to take advantage of their incredible $59 furnace tune and clean special. And let the pros at Building Waters make sure that your furnace is in tip-top shape for the cold winter months ahead. They're your one-stop shop at 262-989-1001 or online at buildingwaters.com.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 63 this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 48. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible. It will be warmer with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
I've been fortunate enough to get to travel a little bit, which is cool. I took a $25 bus ride from Dallas to Houston one time. It's like a four-hour drive. I remember thinking, man, $25 and they take you to a whole other city? That's a great deal. And then the driver started screaming at us. I started to understand the pricing a little more. He was like, two things before we get going on this drive I want to make very clear. One, there's no smoking of any kind on my bus. Do not smoke. I don't care who you are. No smoking. I was like, all right. He's like, second, nobody gets naked on my bus. He scared the hell out of me when he said that because there was only three of us on the bus. I was like, sir, do you know these two? And then I felt offended with them because what look do the three of us have? That when this man saw us, he was just like, mm-mm. Don't get naked on the bus. I look back at those other two guys, I was like, hey, he can't tell us what to do with our bodies.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
Every 2 months, I have this gentleman on. It's one of the best hours you're going to hear on radio. Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine. And Mike, thanks for joining us again. I spoke to you last week setting this up. You didn't sound too good. I said, uh-oh, we got a sick boy here, but it turns out you're all better now, right?
Well, when you live as far north as I do, up in Manitowish waters, you get a couple of hard frosts pretty early. So we had two of those this week, and I think that wiped out the cooties. I'm back up and taking nourishment.
I haven't heard cooties since I was in grammar school. All the girls have the cooties, don't they?
That's only in New York where you grew up.
Yeah. Oh, stay away from Diane. She's got the cooties. Anyway, let's talk about this issue. It just came out the other day, the latest issue of Our Wisconsin Magazine, the fall issue. And before we even get started, the gatefold section of that, when you fold out the entire middle of the magazine, what a photograph of fall foliage in Wisconsin. Let's talk about that. Where is that picture taken?
Okay, that picture was taken, it's Door County, I believe, yeah. That photo, what we're looking at here is three-page fold-out in the magazine, center spread of the magazine. And what we're looking at is the landscape around Egg Harbor, Door County, in the interior. Not, you can see the lake off in the distance, but it's a fall farmstead, a fall view of a farmstead from a high up drone perspective looking down. You've got the tidy red barn and the buildings in the middle, and then you have the fields that you can see they're kind of cut in contours, they're cut in, it's cut, the crops are cut and put away for the fall, for the upcoming winter. There's a lot of fall foliage, trees, and this photo was taken, as I mentioned, from a drone view. Plum Bottom Road, State Highway 42 in Egg Harbor. The man who took the photo is one of our professional photo contributors by the name of Daniel Kramer. Anybody who's a Green Bay Packer fan would recognize that name, because Daniel Kramer is the son of Jerry Kramer, who made the famous block in the Ice Bowl. So it's one more example of the way we celebrate the state of Wisconsin. That's through the most colorful photography we can find on the thickest and slickest and nicest paper we can find, and it seems to work for the past 14 years.
You know, you look at that picture and say it's beautiful. I looked at it and said, who's going to rake all those leaves? That's what I saw.
That's a lot of trees there, brother.
Okay. We had a little thing. We spoke last week. You said, for me to pick out my favorite story, and then I'll figure out what yours is. It's the same story. It is. It's the toilet seat lady. And it doesn't sound as bad as that. But why don't we talk about that story? Really, really, it's a really good story.
The toilet seat lady. So here's what's going on with that. Green Bay's the toilet paper capital of the world, but that's about 25 miles away. We're not talking about that. One of the features in our Wisconsin is we ask the readers themselves to chip in stories of their past experiences in and around the state. We ask people to share what their first job was, their first real job where they got a paycheck. And we see some similarities in some of these. When you're a high schooler, you kind of work in the same sorts of jobs in stores and supermarket or a gas station or something. This lady went to work. She had just graduated from Luxembourg Casco High School, and she had to earn some money to put herself into college. She needed tuition money. She was a farm girl from there, and around Algoma. And she went and applied at Plumbers Woodwork Company, known locally as the Algoma Toilet Seat Factory. This was a large industrial factory, very hot, and they turned out toilet seats along with the covers affixed to them in the thousands inside this hot, sweltering plant. And she came home, she got a job there, and came home and announced to her farmer father at the breakfast table, "I got a job." She has 22nd interview. They said, "You're hired." "Where?" "The toilet seat factory." And her dad, he shook his head. "Oh, you're not very tough. I've heard some bad things about working in there. You aren't going to make it a week." And she went in, and sure enough, there's burning hot toilet seats. She had to take them out of the oven as they're cooking enamel onto them. They're wood, and that burned and blistered her hands and clumsy gloves. But she was plucky and kept up. This girl just out of high school.
By the way, it could have been worse. She could have been a toilet seat tester.
Yeah, well, that comes on your break. But anyway, so she's got these toilet seats, and she was promoted to the line where you take a mechanical screwdriver and affix the seat to the lid. They're coming. They're going on down the line, and it's kind of like Lucy and Ethel in the chocolate factory, where these unending conveyor belt full of product is coming at her. She's screwing these things on, and there's many young ladies doing it down the line, and deafening, loud, all that kind of thing in industry. And here comes the supervisor in his 1974 in his green leisure suit with a lot of cologne, and he's walking down the line whispering something into the ear one by one of each woman on the line. and one woman breaks down and actually starts crying. Then he repeats this as he's going down, and she's watching her coworkers go into getting all shook up, going into hysterics. And she's wondering, is this a nuclear attack? What's happening? And he rounds the corner, and one by one, he's talking to these women just briefly, whispering in their ear. They're upset. She's praying there's not some huge catastrophe, and he comes up and whispers in her ear. And the date of this, Don, was August 16th, 1977. Do you know what happened on that date?
August 16th, 1977?
Yes.
Huh. No.
Why were these women all shook up?
August 16th. Oh, Elvis died. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That was the bad news he was sharing with all these high school girls down the line. And but, you know, they survived it. And the lady, Sherry Hayne Miller, who now lives in Appleton, the toilet seat lady, she worked there 4 years straight, earned her money, her tuition money to go to UW-Milwaukee, I believe, and she proved her dad wrong.
Now, on a somewhat related note, when I got into radio right out of high school, I begged for a job at the radio station. The only job available was cleaning toilets. And I said, I'll take it. And that's how I got into radio. And when I was 18 years old, I was a station janitor, a three-story building we owned. And that cleaned sinks, toilets, the floors. Everybody there was a rabid smoker, so I had to clean all the ashes off their desks every day. So, yeah, somewhat related.
You clean toilet, that's starting at the bottom.
Actually, it was on the second floor. but, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere. We're talking about some of the articles in the latest edition of Our Wisconsin magazine. We're talking to Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin, the editor of the magazine. We've got some great stories still ahead. And I just passed that Amish picture a few minutes ago. I would never survive living on an Amish farm. Too much. I mean, there's no modern conveniences. Everything's done by hand. Yeah, I would never survive. Anyway, we're talking about that. Got some other articles we want to chat about, including, this is good. We've got a story about a cheerleader for the up in Green Bay, and we're going to get the Curly Lambo connection. You're going to tell that story, right?
I think so.
Okay, that's coming up. You're going to hear this story. It's 717 local news. Tamla's hits at WRJN. Looking for sunshine today with a high near 61. Right now, clouds 52 degrees right here at Radio Park. Time for Pete with the Beat.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you haven't checked your Apple TV bill recently, you might want to, as the price has gone up. Not sure if that has to do with tariffs or just general inflation, but in August, Apple TV tacked on an extra three big ones a month, changing their rates from $9.99 to $12.99 a month. Thanks, Apple. With the way things are in America right now, all us hardworking people have is TV. Maybe to protest, I will no longer use my iPhone. Yeah, that's not going to happen. If you're looking for something new on the small screen, check out An Oldie But a Goodie in The Honeymooners. The comedy classic premiered 70 years ago in October of 1955. The Honeymooners ran for one season and 39 episodes, if you can believe that. The show starred Jackie Gleason as Ralph Cramden, Audrey Meadows as Alice Cramden, and Joyce Randolph and Art Carney as neighbors, the Nortons. Oftentimes, there are two episodes in a half hour, and they're well worth taking a look at. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Looking for a new career or valuable resources right here in Racine? Join the City of Racine Human Resources Department Job and Resource Fair, Thursday, October 23rd from 4 to 6:30 p.m. at Humble Park Community Center. Meet face-to-face with recruiters, explore career paths, and discover services from departments like City Development, Fire, Police, Parks, Recreation, and more. Don't miss the chance for opportunities that can shape your future. Racine Job Fair, October 23rd at Humble Park. For details, visit cityofracine.org. Your future starts here.
When storms hit, your home takes the damage, but you feel the stress. At Vessel Services, they specialize in roofing repairs and replacements that restore peace of mind. From leaking roofs to busted siding and drafty windows, they've seen and fixed it all across southeastern Wisconsin. Their team shows up ready to work with real solutions and honest service. Visit 215 27th Street in Caledonia. Vessel Services. Roofing, siding, windows, and storm repair done right. Go to VesselServicesToday.com to set up your appointment.
Fall has arrived, and Ferraro's serves up the flavors to kick off the season the right way. For over 50 years, Ferraro's has been the local go-to for classic pizzas, golden fried chicken, hot sandwiches, and calzones. This October, dig into the Bratwurst Pizza, loaded with bratwurst, a beer cheese base, sauerkraut, red onions, cheddar cheese, and topped with a savory brown mustard drizzle. It's sure to satisfy your lunch or dinner craving. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's, Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
Need cash now? AmeriCash Loans has you covered. Getting cash is quick and easy. AmeriCash Loans is a state-licensed lender with convenient Wisconsin locations. Visit us in Kenosha at 6430 Green Bay Road or apply online. Call now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.net. That's AmeriCashLoans.net.
Restrictions may apply.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
WRJN, not only your source for local news and timeless hits, but your favorite Wisconsin teams, too. We'll follow the Brewers to the postseason, and now the Packers, too. When it comes to the big teams, we've got the game covered with the play-by-play and the wrap-ups with our award-winning sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Brewers, Packers, local news, and timeless hits, all on one station. WRJN.
Our guest is Mike Beano. Excuse me, Mike. Mike Beano from Our Wisconsin Magazine. And we're talking about the latest issue. Every 2 months, the issues come out. How does somebody get an issue or get the subscription to Our Wisconsin Magazine?
Glad you asked, Don. It's pretty simple. You just pick up the phone and you call 877-717-8925.
I love the way you gave the phone number. There was an episode of King of Queens where the son-in-law wanted to call a pizza place, and his father-in-law, played by, I can't think of his name all of a sudden. He played George Costanza's father, too, on Seinfeld. Anyway, he gives the phone number, the area code, 21-263-489. Like, the numbers didn't, there was no rhythm to it. And he said, just give me the phone. Dot, 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 dot. And he goes, he's just giving numbers randomly. And he couldn't figure out how to make the phone call. So I'm glad you gave the numbers like that. Okay, one more time. Give me that phone number again if you want to subscribe.
Pick up the phone and call 877-717-8925.
All right, next story we're going to talk about has some... has a great backstory on it. This is about the cheerleader, the high school cheerleader from Sturgeon Bay. Let's talk about that.
Well, the Green Bay Packers, it's rumored there's a team there. They'll get it straightened out. They're a little up and down this season. But the Green Bay Packers are probably the most reported story subject in the state of Wisconsin, wall to wall, all the time. And for that reason, we don't usually report much on it in our Wisconsin. We tell the stories from the readers themselves. But one reader was one of the original cheerleaders for the Green Bay Packers, going back many years. And with a story that personal, that kind of a personal angle, something she lived, that's a little different, we'll go ahead and tackle this subject. So we're talking about Paula Homuth from Sturgeon Bay. She's a Sturgeon Bay native, and she was one of the Packer cheerleaders. Now, some history is needed here. In 1931, the Packers became one of the first pro football teams to have cheerleaders on their squad on the sidelines. But these girls, and my mother was one of them, by the way, in 1952, they got these squads from senior girls from Green Bay East and Green Bay West High Schools, the only two high schools up there at the time. And they take six girls from each and put together a cheerleading squad. Over the years, they were called the Packerettes, then the Golden Girls, then the Sideliners. So that very early iteration of the high schoolers, they would have been the Packerettes, and they were there for nearly 30 years on the sidelines. Vince Lombardi comes in 1959, and he wanted a little bit more jazzy show on the more professional on the sidelines. So they got Mary Jane Van Dyes was her original name, her maiden name. And she was the girlfriend of Curly Lambos right around that time. Her name, she became Mary Jane Sorgel later on. But she led, she was a very glamorous sort of drum majorette. She led the Packers lumberjack band into Wrigley Field and did a baton twirling routine to music and as a single person show, solo act. And the Chicago Tribune named her the Packers' Golden Girl. Well, Vince Lombardi had this Golden Girl set up a group to work with her, and they called themselves the Golden Girls. And Paula Holmuth, who I just mentioned, was a young lady in Sturgeon Bay. She was one of Mary Jane Sorgel's Golden Girls. Now, these were just, as she put it, giddy high school girls who weren't taking it real seriously. It wasn't really dance routines. It was more marching routines. And Mary Jane would take this group of girls down to wonderful restaurants in Chicago and Milwaukee and treat them. And she mother henned them all around their travels and led them on the sidelines. And to this day, Mary Jane, I believe she passed away in 2022. Before that, Paula Holmuth and several of her proteges that were led by Mary Jane went to her room at the end and performed, like, these are 70-year-old ladies. They're in there performing some of their routines, marching to Give My Regards to Broadway and other show tunes for Mary Jane in her room there toward the end, and did that for her. Very tight-knit group, and it was an interesting journey from 1931 to 1986. They finally, the Packers stopped having sideline routines at that time. None of this was ever the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. It wasn't ever that kind of thing. It was more hometown, and it's interesting to have that picture of the very professional Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders versus the young ladies from Green Bay East and Green Bay West High School.
You say your mother was one of them, huh?
She was, yeah. And when I was growing up, I was watching the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. I was a Packers cheerleader, and I looked at her and said, no, I shouldn't have done that to my mother. but that is true. She went to Green Bay East High School and was one of the girls on the sidelines for a brief period in her life.
Look at you, a touch of greatness. So you are, so she was a cheerleader, and who was the coach at the time when she was the cheerleader? Was it Lombardi, or was it, who was the coach?
That would have been before Vince Lombardi. So, she was probably coaching when Scooter McLean was taking him to a 1-11 record. it was very early on. By 1959, when Lombardi got there, it took him a couple of years to get things going. I would have been probably about 4 years old. So she was off and married and into her adult life.
So you're just one degree of separation away from the Green Bay Packers.
You know something, when you grow up in a town like that, I look back in those years in the 60s, I mean, the kids I went to school with, they were Bart Starr's son, Zeke Bratkowski's son, in our backyard across the fence was a defensive backfield coach named Tom McCormick from down south. He chewed a lot of tobacco. My grandmother had a little tiny house probably built in the 20s, that she was renting out on the west side of Green Bay with her tip money from waitressing at the hotel. It's still there. It's got a tiny one-car garage. Herb Adderley rented that house with his family from her in the 60s. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton. He was on Super Bowl teams for Dallas and Green Bay. This was very small town. Jerry Mortel, who I went to school with, his father, the insurance man in town, was the timekeeper at Lambeau Field. Well, when he moved on, young Jerry got old Jerry's job. He might still be the timekeeper. That's the way it was in that town. And when I look back on it, excuse me, I was working in Chicago, and the Packers were really bad, and then they started getting a little bit better during the Holmgren era. I would throw out these names, and people looked at me like, they couldn't believe that all these famous people were right around us in town. Tony Canadeo, the famous running back from the 1940s, these guys had to have second jobs. He was an exterminator. They got in shape in summer, and then they worked as plumbers or whatever they did through the years. It's an interesting little microcosm there, and I kind of shake my head when I look back at it. It's just, they weren't stars to us. We just grew up with these people.
Look at you, growing up in the town with the Green Bay Packers.
How far I've fallen.
Hold on. No, you haven't fallen anywhere. Hold on. We're talking to Mike Beano from Our Wisconsin Magazine. We still have some more stories to talk about in the latest issue. It comes out every 2 months. More to come. 731 local news. Townless Hits WRJN. Let's get a look at our morning news. See what's happening. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. 1 week after the contract deadline, Ascension remains out of network for United Healthcare members. The failed deal has left thousands across the area facing tough choices about switching providers or paying for more care. The companies say they continue to negotiate but have yet to reach an agreement. Microsoft has pulled the plug on its data center in Caledonia after local opposition, but the company says it's not giving up on the community. Officials say Microsoft is still interested in building in that area or elsewhere in Racine County and will work with the county and village leaders to find a new site. The timeline for a new data center is now uncertain. There was a rezoning vote planned for next week. That's off the table. Meanwhile, Microsoft is moving forward with a second data center in nearby Mount Pleasant and another in Kenosha. Improving efficiency in the Kenosha County District Attorney's Office is a key part of the 2026 budget. County Executive Samantha Kirkman says her budget proposal funds software that will help prosecutors review police body camera footage faster. She says that's a top priority for the DA's office. At the same time, public safety spending as a whole keeps rising, with over half the county's budget going towards law enforcement. The budget also calls for a study of the sheriff's office operations to find ways to work smarter. A new study shows Gateway Technical College is paying off. A statement from the college says the school and its students pump more than $746 million into the local economy. They say taxpayers earn $1.20 for every dollar they invest. The study also finds Gateway alumni support more than 10,000 local jobs. College leaders say it proves education at Gateway helps power southeastern Wisconsin's economy. And October baseball picks back up again tonight with an 8:08 first pitch in Chicago. The Cubs won last night. The Brewers and Cubs are fighting for a spot in the National League Championship Series. A victory there would send the team to the World Series. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Farmers might not want to count on all the money being discussed in federal aid to offset soybean export losses. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Chuck Grassley, senator from Iowa, says when you start adding up the numbers of what's available and the numbers of what's being discussed, the two don't necessarily meet.
All we hear is from the administration on $10 to $14 billion, so the final figure hasn't even been agreed upon. And then there's only $4 billion in the CCC, and they said there'd have to be two tranches of it, some of it coming from money available right now, and then the fund would have to be supplemented by the Congress of the United States.
So no solid answers on the potential for federal aid specifically targeting soybean growers that have been knocked out of the Chinese market. That word from the very senior Iowa Senator, Chuck Grassley, who at 92 years of age is the oldest sitting U.S. Senator in our history. Markets are next.
How does a soybean become a Dairyland seed difference maker? It starts in the labs of Corteva Agriscience, where Enlist E3 technology is designed to fight the toughest weeds for the greatest yield potential. Then it's hand-selected by Dairyland seed agronomists to be the ideal fit for Midwestern soils and conditions. Finally, it's tested on acres by farmers like you to ensure it's proven to outperform. It's a long road, but the only way to make a difference. Find your soybean difference maker at DairylandSeedSoybeans.com.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
On Wednesday, the barrel cheese remained unchanged. 40-pound block cheese was up a quarter of a cent, 173 and three quarters, while AA butter dropped a penny and three quarters down to $1.65 a pound. November, Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up four, $16.97. Right now, December new crop corn's unchanged, $4.22. November new crop beans down 2.5 at $10.27. July wheat also unchanged at $5.51 a bushel. So, just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Thursday trade session. Hey, sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing during the busy harvest season. You can do that at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, think about downloading our brand new app available on either Play Store. Midwest Farm Report, again, what you look for. I'm Pam Yonke.
The weather is brought to you by Building Waters Heating and Cooling in Racine. Phone 262-989-1001 or visit them online at buildingwaters.com.
Customers throughout southeastern Wisconsin are excited about Building Waters' incredible $59 furnace tune and clean special.
Hey, wait a minute. I still have a warehouse full of air conditioners that gotta go to make room for the 2026 model furnaces. Call us today for substantial end-of-season savings on all AC models. Call Building Waters at 262-989-1001. That's 262-989-1001.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 63 this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 48. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible. It will be warmer with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
My mom knew I always try to get hurt because, you know, we're kids. Nothing good is about to happen when one kid says to the other, hey, let's build a ramp. And my mom would always try to buy a safe toy so we wouldn't hurt each other. But everybody knows that that's dumb. Everybody knows that any kid could turn any toy into a weapon. Right? The best weapon you could ever have beating up a brother or sister growing up was the big, long wrapping paper tube thing. Remember that? The big, long cardboard tube thing? That was the best thing to beat up brothers or sisters with. Loved it, because it started off as a big, long staff, and you could just start smacking people with it. Then the middle part would get all busted up. Then the ends are still fine. Then you had nunchucks. My favorite thing to do with that tube, though, before we started hitting people, right, was to walk by our family dog who was just laying there sleeping. Stick the tube right by the dog's face. Dog would always wake up, what the? Hey, get the tube out of my face. Stick that tube in my face one more time. I'm gonna eat every one of your Star Wars figures.
Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine is here. He comes by every 2 months because that's when the issues come out of Our Wisconsin Magazine. And it's one of those things when I see it in the mail, I say, oh, good. I rip the plastic off because it's put in the plastic wrapper. And we start reading it, my wife and I. Before we get to the other stories, though, Mike, I'm going to talk about the ad you have in here for a Clausen Christmas because we were going to go there. We were all set to go take a trip up there. And my wife and I, and then COVID broke out. And that put the kibosh on that trip because they canceled everything. But let's talk about the ad in there. Because you did a story once, you said, of this family, right?
Yeah, the Claussen family up around Coloma, that's Marquette County, in the northern end of Marquette County is where this is located. And a reader quite a long time ago, I'm saying about 10 years ago, tipped us off about this family music show that's going on in central Wisconsin in the farm country. And we hadn't heard about that. Well, I mean, tour buses full of people are coming out for entertainment in this kind of hidden away little rural area, central part of the state. So we took a look, and we were astonished at the size and scope of what they have going on there at the Coloma, near Coloma, Wisconsin. It's the Claussen Family Music Show. And the family puts on, they have a big barn venue that's all refurbished, cleaned up. It's all modern. They have a modern kitchen and a stage and all the lighting. And the family is very talented. They're musicians. It's mostly string instruments. There's guitars and fiddles and stand-up bass. And they do retrospectives going, we mentioned Elvis a long time. They do some of that. They do a lot of country-themed music, rockabilly, different things like that. They have a Christmas show. Since we reported on this, they've had some ads from time to time showing the different theme shows they have. They sometimes they have they've had Norwegian food there and tied in with a theme. So if you look online, Claussen Family Music Show, you'll see the list of events, the list of shows they have, and they've got Christmas programs coming up. So it's dinner theater. It's dinner and a show, and it's very Midwestern, very wholesome Midwestern, and interesting. I think I know our readers love it because they continue to comment on it in the magazine, and they wouldn't be putting ads in here if it wasn't working. So I think that is something. You just said that you missed one of their shows when COVID came on.
Yeah.
I think you maybe ought to look at rebooking something because people have fun at those.
Yes. Yeah, it's like those shows you see on the RFD channel on cable on Saturday night where they bring the Presley family out. They bring all these family shows out. Yeah, I would love to go. I think we're going to book a weekend
it's
getaway.
Not,
yeah.
It's not Branson, but it's something kind of like Branson Light, I would call it.
Branson Light. Let's talk about their Hilltop Hideaway. This, I would love to live in a house like this. The problem with living in a house like this, you have pictured here, you have to live in the middle of nowhere. Because that's where this house is.
The middle of nowhere. Now, maybe compared to where you grew up, Don, yeah, it's a back end of nowhere. But Blue River, Wisconsin is really a gorgeous place because it's in the Driftless region of southwest Wisconsin. And that is the area that was untouched by the glaciers. Now, three-quarters of the state was pretty much mown over by glaciers, and you have the rolling hills, the gently rolling hills. You got a lot of field stones. That's called drift. That's been those are stones that were hauled all the way from Canada by these great ice sheets. So that's enough geology for the program. But what we have in the Driftless area is the way Wisconsin looked before it was touched by the glaciers. It's very beautiful ridge country, kind of put when you're in the middle of it, near Blue River and Muscadet and Richland Center, it kind of puts you in the mind of Switzerland because you have these tall, tall ridges and little flat fields, farms in the coulees, the flat ground next to the ridges, as they call it. And if you look on the map, there's no straight roads, very few. I mean, they wind among the topography of these ridges, and it's very interesting, a slower way of life. And I live in far northern Wisconsin, the pinery with the lakes and all of that, and it's very nice. It's vacation land. For my money, it's not as pretty as a Driftless region. It's just the walnut trees, it's something. So this cabin we're talking about is this couple from Waukesha.
And by the way, hold on a second.
Karen Richards.
Hold on one second. We're talking cabin. This is not like Abe Lincoln's cabin where he's born. This is not that cabin.
This is a little dressed up.
Yes.
But it's pretty new. It's we'll call it. It's part of our little cabin fever section that we run every once in a while and send a photographer. So what's different about this house that was built by the Richards, Karen Richards and Dan out of Waukesha, is that it's a house that comes from many different places, I would say. They found their piece of land in this driftless area I'm talking about, 60 acres along Blue River, in Blue River, which is along the Wisconsin River. They're going to build this home. So they got their little camping trailer, and they got the dream. They're figuring out where they're going to put their place. They weren't exactly sure what it was going to look like. So they came across a newspaper clipping advertising hand-hewn logs from the 1800s. It was a home that originally was in the Shawano area with flat-sided logs done by hand with an adze and taken apart, numbered, and it's to be put together like Lincoln logs. So they went and took a look at this this house and bought those logs, hired a semi-truck, and at the time it was in East Troy with the builder. So it got from Shawano to East Troy. They hired a truck and hauled these logs out to the site. The logs date to 1852. Okay, so they got a crew, their sons and neighbors and everybody who was willing to lend a hand. They came out and sorted these logs and started stacking them, flat-sided, got them up. Dan's a bricklayer by trade, so he's doing a little bit of masonry work on the foundation, getting that going. The interesting part about this, as it was coming together, the floors that they used were wood from a 100-year-old barn in Green Bay. There's a tin ceiling in the kitchen. That was hammered tin. That was in an office building in Chicago. There are overhead lights in here that illuminated railroad cars in the 1800s, all rewired, obviously, and up to modern standards. Lights in the kitchen and great room are made from old blue mason jars. Interesting things everywhere you look in the wood. I mean, they've got oak and they've got walnut. There's eucalyptus going on in here. But what they made for themselves is it's a cabin, maybe a little three-bedroom cabin, modern conveniences and such. But it's got a very old-timey, old-fashioned feel. They have a stove, which is, you can use gas, but it's a wood stove. And they use that wood stove for baking and cooking. A little bit of heat in the house because there's masonry that's a heat sink that heats up. But these people, for about 10 years, they're both working people. He's a mason. She worked in an office. They would pack up their truck in Waukesha on a Friday, drive as fast as they could out there, out to Blue River, and start hammering nails and putting on a metal roof and what have you. Get all done Sunday evening, drive back, get to their job the next day, and that's the way it went for many years. And now they can sit on the front porch and relax, and it's a beautiful, serene setting.
No traffic. Isn't that great? I love it.
It's nice.
Yeah. I do love it. If I was to retire with no cares in the world, maybe I'll buy the house from them. The inside of the house is magnificent. You got to see the picture spread in our Wisconsin magazine. The inside is just a knockout. It looks like a very modern house. It doesn't look like an old log cabin. It's just beautiful. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to our Wisconsin magazine's editor, and he's really like the owner, Mike Bino. He's with us every 2 months. We've got a great story to talk about, a train collector. And we're not talking about Lionel or HO trains either. We're talking about trains. That's coming up in just a moment. It's 7:49, local news, Timeless Hits at WRJN. And the morning show brought to you every morning by Marine Credit Union. Chart your course with Marine Credit Union, proudly supporting the community one step at a time.
Marine Credit Union's passion is to empower this community. In partnership with the Salvation Army, help families experiencing hardship during this year's Warm Up with Marine Drive. Bring in new or gently used coats, boots, gloves, hats, and more. Every donation goes directly to those families who need it most. Help chart the course toward a warmer, brighter winter, one step at a time. Stop by Marine Credit Union today on Green Bay Road, just south of Durand Avenue, to drop off your donations. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
There's still plenty of work to do before you put away your tools for another year, so if you need help with the chores ahead, just phone Get Her Done at 262-220-2555. They do the work that you hate to do yourself. Fall cleanup, gutter cleaning, power washing, you name it. And when it comes to tree removal, the pros at Get Her Done are tremendous. They're also insured and family-owned and operated for over 20 years. Call them today at 262-220-2555 and Get Her Done.
Breathe in that crisp fall air. Now, pair it with something warm and delicious from Main Street Bakery in downtown Racine. Cozy up to a piping hot bowl of rich chicken and dumpling, creamy spinach artichoke, hearty cowboy stew, or classic chili, served in a fresh bread bowl or alongside your favorite pastry and warm beverage. For comfort food any day, check out Main Street Bakery on social media for daily specials. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Main Street Bakery, where every creation is crafted with care.
Our Wisconsin Magazine comes out every 2 months, and so does Mike Bino. He comes out every 2 months on WRJN. If you missed any of the conversation we're having, you can listen to the podcast at WRJN.com, civicmedia.us, or any place that you get your podcast from, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You'll see it there. It'll be up by tomorrow morning, and you get to hear the entire one-hour conversation. Okay, let's talk about the train collector. We're not talking about HO trains. We're not talking about Lionel trains. These are the real things.
This is a real thing, and Mike Kirk of WAPACA is the real deal. Now, you mentioned model railroading, and he's got some of that in his past. As a teenager, he got into that with some other hobbyists around there. But he was just a hardworking man in a factory in the WAPACA area. And very community-minded. He was helping rebuild a river, create the River Ridge Trail. This is the year 2000. That runs through the outskirts of town and into town. And there's some railroad tracks there, long unused. The Soo Line, last Soo Line train, I think, came through in the 1960s, but there's the WAPACA Train Depot, a historic building, and it had fallen into terrible disrepair. It had been tagged by a whole bunch of graffiti artists, and there was a lot of pieces falling off, and it was quite an eyesore. Right next to this nice trail that they had just put into town, and Mike loved the railroads. He's a train fan, and He couldn't just ignore that. So he got some support, moral support, really, from the local historical society. And he and his sister and others went to the Canadian National Railway at the time and made an offer to buy this old historic building, which was a complete wreck. He had the idea of refurbishing it. And you see a picture in here that looks beyond refurbishing to me. But they finally struck a deal where they bought this building after 4 years of negotiation, and they got the building. and it was in rough shape. And Mike said, well, I was the one to do it. I was the one to push the idea. I knew I'd be the one doing the work. And people thought he was crazy about 2004, 2005. And he himself mostly started taking this apart, taking the roof off, getting it down to the bones, and rebuilding this old historic building. A lot of physical labor. Mike put a lot of his own money into it. He only lived a half mile up the line on it. And so whenever he had spare time, he'd be there working because he wants to safeguard the history. So there's three fireplaces in it, a ticket window, an operator's office, waiting room, baggage area. He's trying to keep it historically accurate, the way it was. So he's in there working day and night, investing his time and money. He said, that day-to-day stuff, I don't care. I live nearby. I can come by anytime. So he worked on that for 10 years. It took him 10 years, but he got this old masonry building with a tile roof all back in shape, looking the way it did when trains pulled in and out passenger lines in the 60s. This is in 2014. He's finished, but he's not really finished because then the building's done. He gets the idea to dig a basement underneath it, so he starts doing it by hand and by himself. I mean, with a shovel, digging sand out from under this building so he could put a big room underneath. Why? For railroad memorabilia in a great big model train layout, as you just described. And he got that done. Some people helped him, but he got that done. So finally, in 2020, he retired from his job, and so he's at the depot in his station master's uniform, little outfit, official, and there's a caboose there, and there is a hauling car. There's inside railroad chinaware. There's a baggage cart. There's a fully furnished caboose outside. Kids can activate the railroad crossing lights and bell. And if you're lucky, Mike will be there in his station master uniform to greet you. So you can go there and see this anytime. And there was a documentary made, 2024, called Back on Track, The Rebuilding of the Wapaka Train Depot. It's one man's labor of love for about 20 years. And I mean, when I say labor, I mean it's backbreaking.
We have near us here, near the radio station in Sturtevant, we had an old Sturtevant train station. It was still used, but it was old. It wasn't modern at all, very old. And then they just said enough. And they were going to destroy it, but the Historical Society or somebody bought it, and they moved it. Now it's a gift shop at Christmas time. They moved it to a totally different area, but it's still the original train station. And they put a couple of railroad cars out there with it. And it's great to hold on to this history. Don't let it die. Don't let it get torn down and buried somewhere. So they bought the train station. And where it was is just an empty lot now, but station's been preserved, much like this gentleman's doing. And by the way, I got to say, in that conductor outfit, he looks really authentic. He looks like he just came out of Dodge City, Kansas, and he's running.
You know, yeah, that is my favorite picture in the entire magazine. It was shot by a fellow named Giles LaRocque. He's a photographer in De Pere, but you can see the personality of this soft-spoken, gentle soul, and he looks like somebody you just want to sit down alongside and just talk with.
I could picture an old railroad car back in the 1800s, and the conductor coming, tickets, tickets, tickets. He's the guy. He's the guy collecting those tickets.
Over his shoulder, you can see railroad chinaware from when people were served on Pullman cars.
This is a great issue. Every issue is great, but this one is just, you can spend hours reading, and then you'll reread it. It's Our Wisconsin Magazine. If you want to subscribe, it comes out every 2 months. Give the I can't believe you put this out every 2 months. To me, it would take every year to put an issue like this out. Mike, give the phone number. How do they subscribe?
You can call us here at the office, too. That's 715-543-2311.
But I'm on the line.
Single issues too.
But I'm on the line with you now, so you got to wait till I get off the line with you.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm talking on that line. This is great. I love talking to you every 2 months. If you want to hear the podcast, just go to wrjn.com, the Civic Media site, or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find it up there tomorrow morning. It's a great issue. We just touched on a few of the stories. The photography is wonderful. If you really want to get into autumn, they've got some great photos in here. Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Hold on the line, okay? Don't go anywhere. I'm glad you're feeling better. A week ago, you were like a death's door. You sound better. Hold on the line, Mike. Don't go anywhere. It's 8 o'clock, WRJN Local News. Timeless Hits. You know what it's time for? It's time for the news. 8 o'clock. Let's do it.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
And WZTI Greenfield.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A massive victory for President Trump in the Middle East.
The hostages will come back. They're coming, all coming back on Monday.
Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick put the president on speakerphone after Israel and Hamas agreed to the first phase of Mr. Trump's peace plan for Gaza. It would pause the fighting and bring the hostages, dead and alive, home by Monday. Correspondent Deborah Pata is in East Jerusalem.
Ainav Sangalkar never gave up demanding the release of her son Matan. I can't breathe, she exclaimed. What do I do? Just hug and kiss him. Gil Dickman's cousin Carmel Gatt was killed in captivity, but he has continued to fight for all the other hostages.
I couldn't be happier. The fact that finally hostages are coming back.
Prime Minister Netanyahu says his cabinet will meet in a few hours to approve the plan.